WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of Pulse of the Nation. And if you think Alabama football is pretty dysfunctional right now, just wait until you see what the U.S. House has been cooking, because, dear God, they've been cooking about as well as Russell Wilson did last year. Burning with fire. Good Lord. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, the government is all but set to shut down because the House of Representatives can't pass a bill to fund the government. They can't pass a 30-day continuing resolution. They can't pass anything that will help fund the federal government. And when GOP Representative Steve Womack is saying that, quote, it's an unmitigated disaster right now on the majority side, that's when you know things have gotten a bit sideways. And, you know, in the past couple of days, the House Republicans pulled a roll vote on the continuing resolution. So we'll stop here and explain some of the things that I'll be talking about. So in the House of Representatives, you have to vote on a rules package for the bill before you can vote on the bill in the full House. So the full House will take a vote on the rules package. And usually these rules packages are passed like on party line votes. Sometimes they'll be passed with near, unanimous majorities of the votes as well. But this rule vote has gotten a lot more important in the past couple of years because there is a group of conservatives, mainly in the House Freedom Caucus, that, let me be completely honest, never wanted Kevin McCarthy, the California Republican, to become Speaker in the first place. And we saw this very clearly during last January, where it took Kevin McCarthy about like 15 or so ballots. I don't know what the exact number was. It took him a lot of ballots, a lot of chances, a lot of votes before he even became Speaker in the first place. And he essentially had to give up the farm for it. One of the most important things was a one-person limit to a motion to vacate. That's the other big thing I'll be talking about. So a motion to vacate is essentially what a no confidence vote is. So the rules are for this Congress that any one representative can file a motion to vacate, and then the full House will have to vote on whether they think that they have any confidence in Kevin McCarthy's ability to be the Speaker of the House. If Kevin McCarthy loses that motion to vacate vote, then there will be new speakership elections pretty much on the spot. And the reason this is big is because you have a very tightly contested House. I mean, the Republicans have a 4 or 5 seat majority. I want to err on the side of 4, considering some of the resignations that have happened in the House, some of the special elections that still have to occur and whatnot. But because of that, it only takes, I believe, like 5 Republicans to vote with Democrats, assuming that Democrats don't provide the votes to bail Kevin McCarthy out, because Kevin McCarthy has had to do that before with the vote on the debt limit increase. He needed about like 40 or so Democrats to vote on the rule for that debt limit compromise brokered by President Biden and Speaker McCarthy, that a lot of conservatives did not like. A lot of conservatives ultimately did not end up voting for. I believe it was about like 30 or so Republicans that ended up voting against the rule, and about 40 or so Democrats ended up voting for at the last moment. They got released to vote for it so that, it would come up to a vote in the full House. So assuming Democrats don't supply any votes for Kevin McCarthy's speakership, it only takes 5 Republicans to sink the speakership. And I will leave it there, and I will come back to it, because things have gotten so bad for Kevin McCarthy that motion to vacate thing, which was talked about a lot over the summer with the debt limit thing, that might be starting to come back. So essentially this whole thing on the continuing resolution, it stems from the same thing, the same issue as the debt limit. There's a group of House Republicans who essentially don't want the government to be spending any more money than it already is spending. They want to just pretty much cancel all additional spending, and that is where things get conflicted, because yes, all Republicans in the House want to cut spending, but essentially it's how much do you cut before you start cutting essential services. And this goes from a more, I think, more like a economically libertarian, free market capitalist side of things, and also a whole, you know, sort of like Reaganite economics, Reaganomics type deals, to where, you know, the most, you know, when he said the most dangerous words that anybody could say is like, "Hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help." It's that sort of ideology that's getting pumped into this as well. So we go back to, I think it was last Thursday, the 14th, where you have Kevin McCarthy telling his, you know, opponents on this continuing resolution, who aren't going to vote for the rules package, who aren't going to vote for this continuing resolution, that he essentially dares them to file a motion to vacate. Apparently Fox News got told that, you know, Kevin McCarthy dared them to try and call for a new speaker's election, and maybe Matt Gaetz might try to take them up on an offer. More to come on that story, you know, later. And let's meet some of the members. So, like, we'll give you some of the people who are going to vote against this thing. So you have Representative Andy Biggs from Arizona, Representative Eli Crane from Arizona. He's a House freshman, one of the most conservative members of the House Republican Caucus. You have, you know, obviously you have Representative Ken Buck, who's, you know, real hawk on debt spending and that sort of thing. He's probably going to be a no vote. You also have Representative Dan Bishop of North Carolina. He's running for North Carolina Attorney General. He's also probably going to be voting no on these things. You have Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has been a vocal ally of Kevin McCarthy, and she is going to be a no on this continuing resolution as well. She, you know, got elected as a QAnon candidate, essentially, in 2020 in her Northwest Georgia-based district, the 14th district, if I remember correctly. And she, you know, essentially, I'll tell you a little bit about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's been getting close with Kevin McCarthy to potentially try to get some leadership position in the House Republican Conference in the near future. So if she's saying no, that might be a sign that Kevin McCarthy is a little bit more in danger than people might think. So one thing that was very illuminating on September 14th is Representative Ralph Norman. He is another, you know, Freedom Caucus Republican. He's from South Carolina, and he said, quote, "We're going to have a shutdown. It's just a matter of how long. Quote, we believe in what we are doing. The jury will be the country, and the jury is fed up with reckless spending." And so you have other people like Representative Corey Mills, a freshman representative from Florida, who, you know, talks about this uni parties thing and stuff like that. I mean, he used that rhetoric in, you know, after the compromise debt limit bill was passed. And, you know, you have a couple of others, a lot of others, that will probably end up voting against this as well. Now, the interesting thing here is that this continuing resolution is actually a compromise between House Republican leadership and House Freedom Caucus leadership. You have, you know, Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Representative Chip Roy of Texas. You know, they hammered out this compromise with, you know, Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and the House Republican leadership team. So the fact that you have this compromise and yet still enough Republicans are going to vote against this to where, you know, you aren't going to be able to pass a continuing resolution out of the House is something that I think has to be remarked on. Because I will tell you this, like, a lot of this isn't Kevin McCarthy's fault specifically. He has put himself in a very tough position, but it is a tough position he is in nonetheless. Like, having to corral a very tight House majority, having to get a lot of people on, you know, separate ideological and electoral lineages and ways of thinking to vote on the same thing. It is a very hard job to do. And when you have a group of Republicans that essentially want to grind everything to a halt for reasons better or for worse, and aren't going to vote for anything that will, in their eyes, keep the country on the correct trajectory, then that is something that is very hard to get a compromise deal through and pass the House. But let me just tell you this. Let me ask you this. You know, did Nancy Pelosi have any trouble corralling her House majorities together when she had these civil majorities from, you know, 2021 to 2022? No, she didn't have a lot of those difficulties. And you have the questions of whether Kevin McCarthy is as effective of a speaker as Speaker Pelosi was. She's still a U.S. House Representative for what it's worth, and she is running for re-election in 2024. And the rumors are going that she has been essentially sort of been like a main advisor to House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York. But that's another story entirely. Like, maybe it's just Kevin McCarthy is incompetent. Maybe that's just the thing here. Like, Kevin McCarthy says, like, he loves the challenge of these negotiations. Like, he helped hammer out a debt limit compromise that passed the House, passed the Senate, got signed in the law. But the fact that you're not able to pass a continuing resolution, that is bad on its own. But the fact that you can't pass a roll vote for defense appropriations is something else entirely. Now, like, you're trying to get something, a defense appropriations bill passed to, like, fund the Defense Department in case of a shutdown. But even still, enough Republicans stood their ground and voted against it. I think it was Biggs and some of the main people who were against Kevin McCarthy to begin with, and that includes Representative Ralph Norman. They voted against it, and that defense appropriations rule failed. So it's not even the bill that failed. It's the rule vote that failed. Like, a bill failing to pass the House, that is one thing. But the rule vote failing to pass is something else entirely, because that signals that there is a huge crack in unity in the majority caucus. And that crack has existed ever since Orientation Day on January 3rd, 2023, and during the first speaker vote. Like, that has always existed, but the fact that Kevin McCarthy can't navigate this has to say something about his abilities to corral the caucus together, and it's not exactly anything good. In fact, it's everything, like, just bad, terrible. And so, like, this is a question that has been going on for a long time. Like, you know, how long is Kevin McCarthy going to last as Speaker? Because now you're getting into these discussions of, well, if you can't pass a continuing resolution that is, by the way, is dead on arrival in the Senate. Like, you have to remember, there is a Democratic majority in the Senate. You know, a caucus of 51 Democrats and Independents, and you have 49 Republicans on the other side. So you have this to contend with, that anything you pass is already not going to have a chance of getting signed into law because Chuck Schumer is going to chuck it into his personal incinerator. So you have that to be concerned with. The fact you can't even pass anything to the Senate as a framework for potentially another compromise on a continuing resolution. The fact you can't even do that is something to just essentially behold. And now you have House moderates who have been very criticized for just essentially following what Kevin McCarthy does, for essentially they don't want a more right-wing speaker, a more like Freedom Caucus aligned speaker. I shouldn't say right wing. I should say Freedom Caucus aligned, because we are, you know, talking about, you know, your main street caucus, your study committee, you know, your things like that. So essentially, what you have here is the House Republicans, as of this recording, we're having a meeting. So we're entering into the day of the recording. So Wednesday here. So essentially what you have here is that there aren't 218 votes for a lot of additional funding. So, like the 2024 top line that Norman and some Freedom Caucus members want is $1.417 trillion. So, it's essentially the right wing trying to get leadership to commit to a top line for 2024. Obviously, this is dead on arrival in the Senate. And so essentially, now you have talks of a discharge position. Some of the more moderate members of the caucus, like Representative Mike Lawler of New York. Like, Lawler just said, as I'm talking right now, he said, quote, "I want to be in the majority to make a difference, but you can't tell me that I won't sign a discharge position," which a discharge position is essentially, you get a, so essentially, you file a discharge position, you get enough members of the House, a majority of the House, to sign that discharge position for a particular bill, for a particular bill that you want to pass in the House, and that bill has to come up for a vote despite what House leadership might want. And there has been talk within the Democratic caucus, particularly in more like, you know, New Democrats and, you know, the Blue Dogs, especially in the Problem Solvers Caucus, of getting some of the Problem Solvers Republicans to sign a discharge position so you can pass a clean, you know, funding for the federal government and pass the Senate and we'll be done with it. So there has been discussions of moderates essentially, I don't want to say flaking off, but moderates essentially saying, we're done with this. We're done with this, we're signing a discharge position, and that will be that. And if they do that, then you can probably kiss Kevin McCarthy's speakership goodbye. Because that shows, again, like, you have enough problems dealing with the right flank of your caucus to begin with. Now the left flank of your caucus is starting to rebel against you, that's a good sign that your speakership is probably going to be over soon. If not by your own hands, by the hands of the broader House of Representatives as well. And he said, quote, and Mike Lawler also said, quote, "You can't tell me that I won't sign a discharge position when you vote against the speaker, when most of the conference does, and against the rule." Adding, quote, "You can't say I should vote for $1.471 trillion if people won't vote for a continuing resolution ever." And that's the main thing. A lot of the more moderate members have come to the belief that some of the most conservative, the most arch-conservative members of the House essentially aren't going to vote for any continuing resolution, and they're just trying to use this as a bargaining chip to, you know, boot Kevin McCarthy from the speakership. And if they do that, then we essentially go back to where you were in January. Like, remember, you have to have a Speaker of the House in order for any normal House business to be conducted. So if Kevin McCarthy loses a speakership, then the House can't do anything else. It has to vote for another speaker. And who knows how long that's going to take? Who knows how long it's going to take for 218 Republicans to agree on a speaker, or enough Republicans to agree and then enough to vote like present or something like that to lower the threshold needed for something to pass or a speaker to be elected. So here essentially is some of the other things that came out. So this is by Jake Sherman of Punchbowl News. And if you read my, you know, analysis of the media's coverage of the debt limit compromise, you will probably imply, if, you know, you follow politics like I do, I don't really have a high opinion of Jake Sherman, but he still does some valuable reporting regardless. So he says, quote, "Matt Gaetz stood up and said, quote, there aren't enough votes for a continuing resolution, no matter the top line 2024 number. Even at Ralph Norman's $1.4 trillion number." And Gaetz said, quote, "There are seven no's on any continuing resolution. Well, Bob Good said the number is less than seven, but if it's more than five, it doesn't matter. The continuing resolution fails to pass even the House of Representatives." And now you get to the motion to vacate. So the day before the day of the recording, so on Tuesday, there were grumblings that, you know, something got found in the House bathrooms. And the thing that was found was a draft motion to vacate that was drafted by none other than Matt Gaetz of Florida. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. And since you have this draft motion, we already know, you know, if Matt Gaetz is drafting this motion, that means there are two representatives who are going to be in favor of this. You have Matt Gaetz of Florida, obviously, and Dan Bishop of North Carolina. Dan Bishop has already said he would support a motion to vacate, but he was not going to be the one to file it. Again, only need one representative to file a motion to vacate, and then the full House has to vote on whether Kevin McCarthy should remain a speaker. And I could already think of a few others, like, you know, your Andy Biggs and your Eli Cranes of the world. And all you need is one more, like a Bob Good or something of Virginia or something like that, who I didn't mention yesterday. And all of a sudden, you need a new speaker, assuming all Democrats vote to boot Kevin McCarthy out as well. So things are just extremely screwy right now in the House of Representatives. And what could this mean? Well, this could lean, and this is coming from the horse's mouth himself, Jake Sherman. He even said himself that, quote, you know, there was, you know, just a few, you know, pretty bad options for Kevin McCarthy. And essentially, even he's saying that there is around a 50% chance nothing gets passed as well. And essentially, you know, Kevin McCarthy could be out of a speakership by the end of the year. Not out as a representative, but he could be booted from the job. Like Jake Sherman said, quote, you know, if Kevin McCarthy caves to conservative demands as he did to become a speaker, then he said, quote, it's not going to be easy because moderates aren't going to want to vote for the Ralph Norman top line. And again, there are plenty of conservatives who will never vote for a continuing resolution. So you're having to corral that. The moderates are very easy because they will reluctantly agree to vote on whatever Kevin McCarthy tells them to, because they view that as supporting McCarthy's speakership. But the conservatives part, that's the thing that is the hardest part. Now, Jake Sherman added, quote, you know, Kevin McCarthy could walk into the Problem Solvers Caucus and pass a deal that way. But if he does that, Jake Sherman agrees his speakership would be over, because you're essentially going around the backs of conservatives to pass a bill that these arch-conservatives don't even view as economically conservative. And that would be a motion to vacate officially filed by Matt Gaetz, and we go through the speakership elections again. And then potentially nothing could happen. So you could have a government shutdown, you could have a motion to vacate vote, and there's the farm bill that has to pass. The FAA funding has to pass as well. So it's not just funding the government. It's not just a potentially weeks-long shutdown. Representative Tony Gonzalez of Texas, he represents areas from eastern El Paso to the San Antonio suburbs and everywhere in between. So a lot of the Texas border with Mexico. And even he's saying that, you know, there could potentially be a weeks-long shutdown, potentially a months-long shutdown. So all of this is happening as the Senate is going to send a very different continuing resolution to the House, because, again, Democratic majority. So where does this leave Kevin McCarthy? Well, he's between a rock and a hard place, and it's going to be very hard for him to wriggle his way out of this one. Like, he's trying to at the moment. We'll update you if he does or if he doesn't. We'll update you on everything new that happens in regards to the situation over the next few weeks, over the next few months, as this story continues to develop, all the way up until the Virginia legislative elections, because those are also coming up in 2023, and a lot of political analysts are saying that, you know, government shutdowns don't bode well for the party that is perceived as responsible for the shutdown, in which case it will be the Republicans, because Northern Virginia is very heavily populated. A lot of people work for the federal government or work in D.C. that live in, like, you know, Fairfax and Loudoun counties and Prince William and, like, Arlington, Alexandria, stuff like that. And that could help Democrats as well. If they're perceived as a party of, you know, normalcy or common sense governance, and the Republicans are not viewed as that way, and that could help Democratic candidates, hurt Glenn Youngkin's chances for a legislative trifecta in an election that is seen as make or break for Governor Glenn Youngkin's political legacy. Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, of course, knocked off, you know, former Governor Terry McAuliffe in a shocking upset in Virginia. So, you know, you have that to worry about as well. Now, I assume, you know, D.C. Republican consultants, like Virginia Republican consultants especially, are absolutely trying to hammer this, saying, you know, if you do the shutdown thing, we're going to lose in Virginia. And that's Glenn Youngkin's legacy done and dusted with. So you have a lot of calculations going, a lot of political realities that come in. You have the reality that some arch-conservatives see this as you're fighting the good fight no matter the consequences. And so you have to deal with that as well. Who knows where this takes the GOP? Who knows where this takes the U.S. House? Who knows where this takes the federal government? You know, because, you know, you don't fund the federal government, a lot of federal workers go without pay. So that is something you also have to consider as well. Anyways, you know, I'll end it here because if I didn't end it here, I'd be rambling on for hours and I need to get to another episode tomorrow, and which will be about the whole special elections thing. So yeah, that's it for today. Follow Pulse of the Nation's Instagram for more on this developing news story, and we will see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.